This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring retired FBI special agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
When you were out there looking at the crime scene, when you were looking at the different vantage points and different areas where this all took place, were you surprised by anything? Did anything in your mind change, or were you opened up to anything new that you otherwise didn't absorb by all the materials that you had read and taken in so far?
I think the one thing that changed, and this is why, sorry to digress, but no. Them knocking down the Koberger house, it just really brought home that point. When you are there and you can see the vantage points, the line of sight, what you can hear, what you can't hear, how far that house sits back, when you can actually see it for yourself, it made things make more sense to me in terms of that door that they exited and how close their vehicles would have been to the left, opposite of where he was. Also the darkness, the lack of street lights, just imagining that now with snow coming down and just white out conditions, it makes it so easy to understand why no one saw him, including the tow truck or including the plow driver.
That's interesting. Obviously, the trial's about to get underway. What do you foresee happening here in the first week with opening statements and the first round of witnesses and such?
Well, what I'm most concerned about with this case is what just happened, which was the voir dire. I really have a lot of grave concerns about jury adulteration. And there was a particular situation that happened where one of the jurors that wasn't selected went on YouTube, of course, talking about their experience and talked about another juror that she had spoken with that she felt in their conversations clearly knew about this trial and what they were there for. And then when she was asked by Judge Cannone if the trial, if she had ever heard of this case, said no. So that gives me great pause because when you're willing to not be truthful with the judge about one thing, what other items weren't you truthful about in terms of already have predetermined decisions and so on? Are you really unbiased? So I walked away from that just, really concerned. Also, the fact that you can't look at 1 yard when you're driving. You can't look at one area anywhere around Canton and Dedham and not see signs in favor of Karen Reed.
Interesting. So how divided is Canton on this issue? Is it primarily Karen Reed supporters? Obviously, that's what we hear about and see a lot of. It seems to be one of the most vocal groups that are out there. But is it more 50-50? What would you say?
I would say more 50-50. It's the Albert families and McCabe families have a strong family presence there. Their families have been there for years and they're entrenched in the community. And so those people are victims, right? They're being falsely accused of murder.
Yeah.
With no evidence other than just really innuendo and speculation and quite frankly, just sort of making up, facts from items such as abrasions on the arm. Now that's been converted supposedly to dog wounds, which we've debunked all of that, so I won't go into that.
Yeah.
But it's just item after item, they sold their house. Well, they don't look at the fact it was on the market before this incident ever happened and it sold over a year after the incident.
Yeah.
Or they changed their carpet down below, right, to supposedly cover the blood. Well, you know what? They had a septic sewage leak down there in their basement. And by the way, the defense will tell you that he never went downstairs, right? He climbed 3 flights of stairs, but the prosecution will tell you, yeah, but that never happened. He was driving in a car, according to Waze and his cell phone. So they've taken facts, pushed them to the side and muddied it, quite frankly, with just delusion.
And obviously, in court, the facts are what's going to come to light. What if you were to say, from your vantage point and your opinion, what is one of the biggest misconceptions about this case that people are missing here in terms of understanding the facts that just it's floating out there as rumor or falsehood?
I think the biggest falsehood that is just the most egregious is blaming 9 people for a murder of their friend, mm-hmm. and what that has meant to these people and to their lives, quite frankly. You can only imagine what that means for those who, you know, who are ridiculed, who are screamed at, called a murderer, mm-hmm. A cop killer. That's what these people who are normally just soccer moms and just your normal everyday average Joe, you know, that's what they're being accused of now. And that is just the most egregious lie or, you know, conjecture that's affected the most people.
Yeah.
And it's all, again, based on the fact that, generally speaking, everybody thinks that there's corruption in that town. Mm-hmm. And they've painted it on this case.
And there may be, but it doesn't necessarily translate to it has to do with this case or what happened to John O'Keefe. That's the thing. That's just the very bizarre crux of this whole thing. I know they're talking about the alternative theory that they're going to bring up. I know they can't bring it up in opening arguments or anything like that. But where do you think that's going to go? Is this going to be pinned? Are they going to try and pin it directly on someone, or is it going to be kind of a general, it's those friends, it's the people at the party that did this?
Well, you know, Judge Cannoni in the last hearing, she said, I've read 4,500 pages. I believe it was 4,500, but over 4,000 pages. And she said, I still have no idea who you think the third party culprit is, telling the defense. And she said, the time is now. Mm-hmm. You have to tell us who it is, and you can't just name somebody. You need to show predication that they're involved.
Yeah.
And so they got called on the carpet, and they named 3 specific individuals. Mm-hmm. They named an ATF agent at the time named Brian Higgins. They named a celebrated Boston police officer, a 30-year vet, Brian Albert, who owned the house, and they named a 17-year-old, the cousin of Brian Albert, or sorry, the nephew of Brian Albert, named Colin Albert. So mm-hmm. they specifically named those 3. By the way, they didn't mention Chloe the dog, but you know, I guess.
And what do they have? Is it they beat him up at the party and then left him outside? Is that the theory? I mean, and then what do they have to back it up?
That is their theory. Their theory is he came in and was essentially ambushed in front of, by the way, their wives, 2 other children. And then brilliantly, they hid their despicable crime by throwing him on their front lawn. And I'm sorry to be so facetious, but when I first heard about this case, Tony, I really thought people were kidding. I mean, I looked at it wholly initially because they just said, hey, there's somebody being falsely accused.
Yeah.
So I said, okay. Well, let me look at the facts and what's happening. Let me look at the court documents. And then when I saw the court documents compared to what was being said on social media, blaming this huge conspiracy, Tony, that's where I couldn't believe it, that people would believe it. But people are believing that, all of those people.
The problem with conspiracies is people don't keep their mouth shut, and have that many people that just were innocently at a party one night, that one of them, of all those people, would not say something or just come forward of like, yes, this did happen, or no, this didn't happen. And obviously they're saying, no, it didn't happen like that. That's the problem. They don't work. Conspiracy theories don't work most of the time simply because of that, especially with that many people involved, to say, okay, none of us are going to talk about this, and we're just going to all huddle up here and just cocoon together. It doesn't make any sense. And there's not any real reason, I think, why that would even be accurate. And what's the motive? These were friends of his.
Yeah, the motive is even really sillier. So the motive is supposed to be that Colin Albert was with a group of friends in the neighborhood of John O'Keefe, and they had a party. The party got broken up. some of the kids went running, right? Not wanting to be, because they were underage, around alcohol, and left some bottles or beer bottles on the corner of his lawn. And that supposedly that made John O'Keefe mad, and that there was this huge issue between them. But I can tell you unequivocally, that is just false and a lie. There is no John O'Keefe, and I know this. This isn't something I'm just guessing at. Mm-hmm. Had no animosity, was not at all mad at any of these kids for leaving these bottles, and it wasn't even Colin Albert who dropped the bottles. So it's just ridiculous that that would cause murder.
Yeah, yeah. It just doesn't add up. Wow. Well, Jennifer, very interesting to get your insights, having been there. We'll obviously keep talking about this over the coming weeks as the trial gets underway.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.